in, I want us to start in Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age." For a few minutes this evening, I would like for us to talk about saving souls. There is no greater work that we can be engaged in than saving the souls of lost men and women. However, sometimes little attention is given to this great work. It's always taken work to convert the lost. Sometimes it takes more work than other times. How do we save souls? We save souls by evangelizing, by evangelism. Now, evangelism is a broad subject covering everything from the word go all the way to the eternal destiny of our souls. And in between those two points, there's a great expanse of relationships and responsibilities. So because of the great scope of this work, we need to look at it regularly. And with the work that is going on here this summer and fall, I want to do like one lesson a month. We had the first Friday night out in May, so we've got one in June, we've got July, August, September. In August, there's the Village Sunflower Festival. And then in October, we've got the gospel meeting coming up. So there's lots of opportunities beyond what we do individually that we can do collectively to help share the gospel. This is not going to be anything new in this lesson. The next lesson I want to do is one on some phrases and things to say to help us open the door, how to overcome some objections. But this is nothing new, but we need to be reminded. Peter talks about stirring up to their remembrance, some things that the Christians needed to know. It's like if you take, have you ever taken a cup of coffee or a glass of tea and you put some sugar in it and then you drink it and you think, where's the sugar? I know I put it in there. What do? You got to stir it up. You got to stir it up. So we want to stir up some things to consider about saving souls. So the first point we want to make is that evangelism is a prominent New Testament subject. There are basically three different words used in regards to this. I'm not going to try to pronounce the Greek words, but the first word would be rendered evangelizing, is found 55 times in the New Testament. The second word relating to this is rendered gospel, is found 77 times in the New Testament. And the third word rendered evangelist is found 3 times in the New Testament. So the words defined, the root is, it's E-U-A-N-G-E-L-O-S. The EU means well or good. The angelos, we recognize that it means messenger, like an angel. So basically, evangelism is a messenger of good news. And that's what all of us need to be. All of us need to be that. So from this root, we get three words important to our discussion. One is the work that must be done. Number two is the message that must be preached. And number three is the person who does the work. So what is the heart and core of evangelism? What is it all about? It's about the message. The message, Romans 1:16. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." God's righteousness is uncovered by the message that revolves around Jesus. We don't want to keep that message hidden. We want to share it. Evangelists, when you look at evangelists in the New Testament times, what did they fill their time with? Preaching Jesus. They preached Jesus. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, he preached Jesus. Philip, the evangelist in Acts 8, he preached Jesus. Peter at the house of Cornelius in Acts 10, he preached Jesus. And Paul, throughout his letters, he preached Jesus. So the message is very important. And that's one of the reasons why you don't see a lot of people obeying the gospel today, is because people don't hear the gospel today. So many of the churches out there, they talk about everything under the sun except the gospel. So the message, the heart and core of evangelism revolves around the message, preaching Jesus Christ. In some areas, the cause of Christ has suffered due to a failure of practicing personal evangelism. And it becomes evident. And sometimes you see a group dwindle, then they close their doors, and then the ones that are left look at each other and say, well, what happened? It shouldn't be a surprise, because we are to be out preaching the gospel, sharing it with everybody. And if that does happen to a congregation, in a respect, they are departing from the early church pattern. Because what did the early church do? They went everywhere preaching and spreading the good news. Now, I don't think that failures like that are due to a lack of faith. I don't think that at all, nor to a lack of zeal. I think people want to share the gospel. I think most people are eager to share the gospel to advance the kingdom of God, but they either do not know how, or they do not know what to say or what to do. They just haven't gotten over that initial going out and doing it. So I would not make the assumption that people are not willing to do personal evangelism. Sometimes people just don't know how to do it, but it's as simple as saying something to the person next to you. It is not hard. The practical nature of personal evangelism is seen not only in the fact that Jesus took 12 men from different walks of life, and through these 12 men, he caused the word to go out from Jerusalem to Judea to the utmost parts of the world. But think about this. These 12 common men, that they were all different. So does it take any special qualification to share the gospel? The qualification is to want to share the good news. And not only did these 12 men go out, but we read in Acts 8 about the persecution when it came upon the church in Jerusalem, that they went everywhere preaching the word. And that when they did that and the gospel spread, so did they just start having a series of gospel meetings everywhere, all over? Is that how they spread the word? No. They did it one by one, talking to one person at a time. And this shows the fulfillment of the principle involved in the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. 2 Timothy 2:2. So we see this chain of communication. We are to instruct. Paul was instructing Timothy to instruct other faithful men to keep on sharing this message. So do we have apostles today? No, we don't have them. So how is the word shared? It is shared, we have the written word, and then we just entrust it in men and earthen vessels that in turn go out and share it with others. So evangelism and personal evangelism, it's saving souls and edifying or building up the body of Christ. So this type of work lays stress upon individual responsibility in contrast to a group activity. And the ultimate goal is to bring men to the knowledge and faith and obedience in service of the Redeemer. We want to save souls. We want to. We had a visitor here this morning that was not a member of the church. Did we want to encourage him to come back and study the Bible? When people, it's so hard to get people that are interested in talking about the Bible. And when any visitor comes through the doors that's not a member, that's like God dropping a present down through the ceiling here for us. Here's an interested soul, and we need to help and share God's word with them. In evangelism, it makes us become a fisher of men, like Matthew 4, 18 through 20. And when those that are caught when we go out fishing, what do they become? They become Christians. No more, no less. They don't become Baptists. They don't become Methodists. It develops a person like Philip who knows to seek out a Nathanael. Something else involved in evangelism is consecration or dedication. This is another principle. So, as Christians who are holy, we are set apart, we are consecrated for a special purpose. And what is that purpose? To carry out the will and the work of the Lord. We are consecrated. We are dedicated. We should focus on the Master's work foremost, above our work, because our work is just going to be temporary here. Is there wrong with liking things and doing things? No. But even you think back when you were younger and all of those things that you liked to do then, maybe hobbies you had, things you enjoyed doing, and as you get older, they lose some of their joy. You know, you aren't able to physically do them, but stop and consider. You can always share the gospel with somebody. And the older you get, the wiser you are, the more life experience you have, the better suited you are to share the gospel. But what do some people do when they get older? Well, I put my time in. I'm just going to sit back and let the young people do it. What kind of attitude is that? We need to draw on the wisdom of age and the wisdom of experience, and then take a young person and say, let's go and talk to some people. Let's share the gospel. Why is this an individual responsibility? Well, you think about the different illustrations of the church. The church is compared to a vineyard. What does that show? It shows the work. God calls laborers to go out and work in the vineyard. It's an everyday responsibility. Evangelism needs to be something that we don't think of that just takes place on Sunday morning. Evangelism is sharing the good news. Do we have an audience to share it to? Absolutely. The whole world. And why do they need to hear it? Because people's lives are wrecked with sin. They are wrecked with sin, with sin-wrecked lives. And friends, we have the information to help them fix their lives, not just fix their lives with their personal physical things that are going on, but to help them fix their soul for all eternity. Because we don't want them to be lost. We don't want that. So we need to have this spirit of evangelism is taught in God's word. We need to want to go out and share it with others. We need, you know, to figuratively or literally shout it from the rooftops. We see everybody out there dying in sin, and what do? We just sit back. We sit back and watch them. So it's going to take an individual responsibility. And again, back to the point of the 12 different apostles, all of those could approach different people. You know, we are all different. Each one of you are going to come in contact with people that you are close to, that you have influence over, from different walks of life, and not to make generalizations about any kind of occupation or career, but you think about just a group of doctors. They are going to be able to talk to other doctors. You think about a group of farmers. They are going to be able to talk to other farmers. Would the two groups be able to talk to each other? To some extent. But we relate to people who we are like, who we work with, people at the workplace, people in the neighborhood, because we have something in common. But what's the biggest thing that this group has in common is that we are Christians. It takes a little bit of organization. Some churches fail because they lack organization. They may not have any plan, any systematic approach of talking to people. So what do we do? Well, here we get involved in the things where we can in the community, and we are very blessed to be able to do that. A lot of communities would not allow you to talk religion. We are able to be involved in that. We send out welcome packets either each month that I put together with information and DVDs and a letter. We have the cards to hand out to people. We have the website, which reaches people, and there are people starting to listen to the sermons and watch videos on there. We have a plan. And people have different plans, and any plan will work if you work it. Sometimes people will start something and they say, well, we aren't getting anything from this. They jump to something else and they jump to something else. Sometimes it is good to change plans. I mean, they aren't written in stone, but we need to have time involved in something and follow through, and something bigger or part of that is praying about everything. We need to pray for the souls that are out in the community. Pray for the souls in the community, for our neighbors, for our family. We're in the business of saving souls. We are in the business of saving souls. Also, with evangelism, there needs to be a need for motivation. Are you motivated to save souls? You hear on the news regularly, the Labor Department releases the numbers for unemployment, and they play it up really big when those numbers are going to be released. What's the number that it's going to be this week? What percent of the population is employed? What percent is unemployed? And that is big news. What's the application? Think about the church. Do we ever stop to think what percent of the church is unemployed because they aren't out working in the vineyard? Isn't that an important number? We should all be out there working in the vineyard. We have so many things that save us time that a generation or two ago did not have. So many things to save us time. We call them labor-saving devices. So what do we do with all that time that we save? Well, we usually want to go out and spend that time on something that we like to do. And there's nothing wrong with that. But again, are we spending time doing what we signed up to do to sow the seed of the kingdom? How are we spending time doing that? Well, how can we motivate each other to do this personal evangelism? How can we impress on God's people the responsibility of taking the gospel of Jesus to those that are around? One of the ways is by what I'm doing right now, is just reminding people, stirring up to our memory that this is something that we are to do. This is something that is very important. We can have sermons on it. And as I said, I want to have maybe one a month for the next several months. Are we thinking toward the gospel meeting this fall? Are we praying for people? Again, something I've mentioned that someone, it's not my idea, but it's a really good idea. He said, take a note card, like a 3x5 note card, and write the name of 5 people on there that you know need to be saved. And then pray for them every day. Pray for them. You know, so-and-so isn't saved. Well, do you pray for them? Do you pray for them? Or are you thinking about going out and doing this, that, or the other? Think about how can we motivate ourselves? We think about Christ to the extent that he went to teach people. He had compassion on everybody. He came to seek and save the lost. He's an example for us. How about the apostles? Are we motivated by their example? You know, they literally gave their lives for the gospel. They were executed. They were beheaded. They were crucified. They died all types of horrible deaths for the gospel to be spread so that we can still have it today and learn from their example to go out and teach others. They gave their lives. Do we have to worry about that? Not yet. It may come to that point in this country. If this country doesn't turn around, it may come to a point where our lives are threatened for preaching the gospel. But what's the worst thing that can happen? Somebody laugh at you? Somebody say no? What's that going to be like on the day of judgment? I didn't say anything to somebody because I was afraid they would laugh at me. And then we're surrounded by all of these other Christian martyrs that gave their life. We need to understand that every Christian has and bears a burden of lost souls. Paul felt this responsibility not because of his apostleship, but because of his relationship with Christ, the fact that he was a Christian, and what he owed Christ. And you think about Paul, who persecuted the church. He persecuted Christ. But again, he did it a little bit differently, but we were no different. When we were in the world, what did we do? We persecuted Christ. Our sins nailed him to the cross. We owe Christ everything, just like Paul owed Christ everything. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14. You're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So here we see where we are compared to a light, a candle, a light to shine. You see value in that light. Think about a physical example now and the community of New Lebanon. Say there was no light in this area, no physical light, and we were responsible for lighting this community. How would we do that? Would we get one giant light bulb and then Where would we put it? How big would that light bulb have to be? Who's gonna be that light bulb that runs that light bulb to light the community? Is that practical? No. We all know that's not practical. What, and again, thinking in physical terms, what if each one of us here had a light and we went out into the community and we turned our light on? We turned our light on. And when we turned our light on out in the community, other people that are in darkness saw that light and wanted light. And then they became lights also. And then it spreads. And then what do you have? You have light everywhere. Light in a land of darkness. And that's what we are to do spiritually. We are to let our light shine. We are a city that is set on a hill. It cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So we let our light shine in such a way that men will see it. We don't take our light out and blind people with it and just say, you got to do this, you got to be like this. You go out and you let your light shine by the life you live. And when people see that life, what's going to happen? They're going to want to be like us. They are going to want to be happy. They are going to want to be content. They are going to want to be joyful. And what are they going to do? Then they will glorify your Father, which is in heaven. So how are Christians light into the world? We are Christians through our deeds, what we do, and through our words, by the teaching, by the teaching. And again, one person, no matter who it is or where they are, can light a community. But a group, a family of individuals can do that. They can do that. It's a personal responsibility. Some people, and I don't know where they come up with this idea, it may be from denominationalism, but I never understood it. Where they have the concept that worship is the responsibility of other people, and I'll just come and be there. I'll just come and be there and check it off the list. Worship is an individual responsibility. I can't worship for you. You don't come here to be entertained by anybody. You come here to offer up your worship unto God. You say you didn't get anything out of it. It's not, again, what you get out of it. It's what you give. You give it to God. And the same thing with evangelism. Evangelism is not something that we can delegate to somebody else and say, here, you go do my job. We can't delegate worship. If we could, we could hire worshipers. If we could pay somebody to worship for us. We could pay somebody to go out and share the gospel with your neighbor. How much sense does that make? That's a silly idea. It's an individual responsibility. And the more we love God, the more we develop a love for God and an appreciation of what He has done for us, friends, we are not going to want to keep that inside of us. We are going to want that bubble forth from us and share it with others. We are going to want to let that come out and give that good news to others. We need to do that. Then we need to take that step a little bit further. We need to teach, keep teaching, sowing the seeds little by little. And then we need to expect something from the people that we're teaching. In Acts 2 and verse 40, and with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. We need to keep sowing the seed, and then we need to tell the person, you know, you need to save yourself. I'm trying to help you. You need to do something. We'll look at some different things to say later and some ways to work that in to conversations, different tools that we can use. But back to Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." So, what does Jesus say? He tells us to go. He tells us to go. What is that? That's an action. That's something we get up, we move, we go. Where does he tell us to go? He says to people of all nationalities. God is not a respecter of persons. Does that mean we have to physically go to every nation that's on this globe? No. But when we take the gospel to all nations, the other idea behind that is we are not prejudiced and we do not keep it back from anybody. You think about the Jews, the Gentiles, the Samaritans, they didn't get along. But Jesus says, you go and you take this gospel, you teach all nations. You teach all nations. Why do we do that? Because Jesus has all authority and he commands us to do it. He doesn't, maybe you can get around to thinking about possibly going. He says, go. He says, go. And this is the Son of God telling us. And again, to do what? To make disciples. What is a disciple? A disciple is a disciplined learner. A disciplined learner. You think about different things like martial arts, where someone is a disciple of someone. They are a follower of a master. They learn a discipline. They learn a discipline. Do they just sit down and read and memorize things? No, they practice that discipline. And that is what we are to do. We are to make disciples, disciplined followers. If you have a disciple of Christ, he's going to be a doer. And then what? Observe all things that I've commanded you. Doesn't stop with baptism. That's just the beginning. We show people the condition that they are in, that they need to be baptized for the forgiveness of their past sins, and then they need to start living for Christ. Turn back to Matthew 13, and this will be our last passage for the evening. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 3. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, a sower went out to sow." Okay, a sower went out to sow. Notice what it does not say. It does not say that a preacher went forth. It does not say that an eloquent speaker went forth. It does not say a charismatic speaker went forth. It does not say someone from a well-known college went forth. The text says a sower went forth. What's the sower? Who's the sower? That's you and that's me. We don't have to be some special, highly trained, qualified, eloquent, charismatic person with a degree from some well-known college. We just need to love the Lord. We need to love the lost and open our mouth and let people know what's in our heart. Those that are content to be average, complacent church growers will never enjoy the joy of evangelism. You know, one of the other things to motivate people for personal evangelism is to just do it. To just do it. And you start and see the changes that you can make in people, and it brings about an excitement. It brings about an excitement, and it will challenge you to spend more time in God's Word. And then it's, you see God's plan and design when you do it, you just want to keep doing it more and more. That's one of the reasons why Jesus told us to seek the kingdom first. That must dominate our thoughts, our minds, our daily activities. So necessity is laid upon all of us to share the gospel. We have an opportunity to do that this Friday night. I'll talk just a couple minutes more about that Wednesday evening. But motivation is the answer that ails a lot of churches. And you know what people are going to do? People are going to do what they want to do. They're going to do what they want to do. And then they will have to give an answer to God. Friends, let's learn from some of these examples in the New Testament of people just going out and sharing the gospel. It is one of the greatest privileges. Some people look upon it as like a burden that we have to go out and do it. Friends, we've got the greatest message. We are a child of God. We have what the whole world needs. And we should have a heart that wants to go out and share the gospel. The world needs to obey the gospel. Is there anybody here this evening that has not obeyed the gospel and you realize that you're lost without doing that? Don't put it off any longer. Or if you've obeyed the gospel, if you've been baptized and started becoming a follower of Christ, but you got off track and you have sin in your life, you need to confess that, repent of that, ask for the prayers of the congregation that your life might be made whole again. If we can assist anybody this evening in being obedient to the gospel invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.